Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. I would like to welcome you to come and reason together through the Word of God. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
We're going to do a song right now. You know, the whole Bible is sung both Old and New Testament. It's in the numerics. Music is numerical. The Bible is numerical. The Bible is songs. And we're to worship God in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And we're to sing. The whole book of Psalms is meant to be sung. And we like singing the whole Bible like the Jews did. So we're the new Israel. We're the new. We're part of a new kingdom. We're God's kids. We're going to sing you out of the Bible, right out of the Bible.
And this is located in Isaiah 34, verse 16.
And it's also important to note that it kind of jumps around too. So some of it's like in Matthew, I think some in Romans.
But the chorus rolls.
But the main chorus is in Isaiah 34:16.
The basics.
Yeah. And the Holy Spirit gave this song to a friend of mine here in Vancouver. His name's Mark.
He's my friend, too.
My friend, too. Actually, he was my friend before he was your friend. Oh, here we go.
Was he mine before yours? I don't know. Doesn't make any difference, does it?
It doesn't make any.
I was just playing along.
Seek out of the book of the Lord and read, for not one of these shall fail you not. One of these shall lack her mate, for his mouth has commanded it. Seek out of the book of the Lord and read, for not one of these shall fail you not. One of these shall lack her mate, for his spirit has gathered them. Does it not say that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God? Does it not say that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God? Seek out of the book of the Lord and read, for not one of these shall fail you not. One of these shall lack her mate, for his mouth has commanded it. Seek out of the book of the Lord and read, for not one of these shall fail you not. One of these shall lack her mate, for his spirit has gathered them. For your commandments are a lamp unto our feet, and your laws a light for our path, so that we may not stumble, but walk that straight and narrow way to life. Seek out of the book of the Lord and read, for not one of these shall fail you not. One of these shall lacquer mate, for his mouth has commanded it. Seek out of the book of the Lord and read, for not one of these shall fail you not. One of these shall lacquer mate, for his spirit has gathered them. His spirit has gathered them.
We're in Matthew chapter 22. Next context is verse 15. Again, just to remind people, Jesus is in the temple. He's with his disciples. They're hearing this. The crowd is also there. And also, this is focusing on Jesus' relationship with the spiritual leader of the day. Today, we'd call them ministers, we'd call them clergy, and people will try to distance themselves from this. Some of us fit into this category, so we have to read this to us, we have to read this ourselves and look at it ourselves, and how are we doing in these categories? And if we are teachers of the word or whatever, we have to put ourselves into this light, and let's say somebody would come who's homely, and Jesus was physically homely, it says in the scriptures, he's not to be desired. And maybe he's saying words that are new. Are we going to listen to him, or are we going to fight with him? Are we going to try to grab a hold of him? Are we going to try to kill him? Or maybe this person is actually a prophet of God, like John the Baptizer was, or Elijah, or Elisha. And we treat them badly because maybe they're a little different. Maybe they're wearing camel's hair, a leather girdle about our loins, and so on. And how do we receive it? And this is a message to the ministers, to the clergy, to pastors, teachers, elders, anybody that is affiliated with a church today, religious people. So none of us in this room can clear ourselves from this, can we? We have to look at this. Is this me acting in this way? Mm. Because it seemed like all of them were acting this way. And even Paul, the Apostle Paul, did, and he had to turn away from it. And when Jesus comes, are we going to recognize him? Are we going to try to treat him like this? Of course, that will not happen that way because he's coming in a different way than he did at this time. But let's say one of his ones that he sends ahead of him, and how will you treat him? And he might say different things that are foreign to you, but we're to be lovers of strangers, philoxenos. Xeno is still a word today, stranger, xeno in Greek. We are phile, we're to be lovers of strangers. And what are these strange things you bring to our hearing? Isn't that in the Bible?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That some of the people that were hearing the apostles, you're bringing strange things to our ears.
When they were talking about the resurrection of the dead, that was a strange thing to them.
Right.
Literally, that's what they were thinking strange was.
So they're in the temple. We're getting close to the time of Jesus returning. He's walks with his disciples 3.5 years from the point of the beginning of Matthew through the whole book of Matthew. It is a period of time of just a bit over 4 years, maybe. But, you know, by the conception of John the Baptizer and the conception of Jesus all the way to when Jesus goes and returns back to the Father, it's about a 4-year period. And I think just a touch more, maybe a 6-month more period than that. And Jesus ministered for 3.5 years after he was tempted. That starts in Matthew chapter 4. But he gets to the temple and he casts the money changers out of the temple. Anybody making money on religion is odious to Jesus, using as a place, maybe even to seek out people you can work for.
That term today is, you talked about it earlier, networking.
Yeah.
So whether you're trying to sell something there or not, but if the intent of your heart is to network, to sell something because of those relationships is the same thing. Your mind is not on the Lord at all.
This is a passage of scriptures that shows that not just a context, but it's a whole passage that shows Jesus entering the temple and even the next day coming back to the temple. But I think it was the first thing he did is he kicked the money changers out of the temple.
First thing.
Clean the house.
He acted physically. Can you imagine if a minister would do that today and all of a sudden you see somebody grabbed by the seat of the pants and by the nape of the neck and flying out of the temple along with their money and their junk, you know, get it out of the temple.
Or in a roundabout way, he was cleaning up the inside of the cup there, wasn't he?
He was starting on the very inside.
He was.
In other words, at the heart of religion in Israel. And don't say, well, that's the Jews in Israel. No. Put yourself there. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I have to take this to heart for me. How about, what do you guys think?
Sure. It's to everybody, wherever they are in their religion. It's talking about cleaning up the inside of the cup. He even says those terms. He didn't explain himself, but this is surely cleaning up something in that temple that was messed up.
If you're going to church to meet a woman, to meet a man, to make money, don't do that. Go to church to meet God.
I would say et cetera.
It's et cetera. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Latin word.
In addition to
anything like it.
Anything like that. Yeah.
Anything like it. The Latin word. Et cetera. It's a good word. And he used that with the lust of the flesh there. These 18 things and
the like.
Et cetera. Yeah. So here's Jesus in the temple. We're continuing on. He left for a moment. He did some things, left for a moment. He came back the next day and continued. So this is a two-day event so far that we've seen. And his disciples are there and the crowds are there. So we know that they are definitely not in the holy place. And Jesus is teaching. He might be teaching in the outer court. He might even be in the holy place, because Jesus could stand anywhere in there because he is holy, but he is in the temple. We do know that, and he's teaching. He is the one teaching. And the religious leaders came in there, maybe storming in. I don't know. Maybe they made a big spectacle of it, but they right away started questioning him. The first thing it says, he started questioning him, right? Religious leaders tend to do that. They want to find something on you. Politicians do that too. So they'll start by questioning. Attorneys do that. They like doing that. So Jesus entered the temple. It starts in 21:12. And then he came into the temple again in 21:23. It says the next morning in verse 18 of 21. He returned to the city, and then he enters the temple again the second time. And the first day, the first time he goes in there, he takes that time that day to clean the temple, and then he left and went forth out to the city of Bethany and lodged there. Now in the morning, he returned to the city. So that first event happens one day. Then he comes back into the temple, and I don't see him leaving. He's still in the temple. So this is several contexts later, we're reading Matthew 22:15-22.
Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might ensnare him in talk.
Oh, there's another. God's looking right into the intents of their hearts. They're going to try to trap him. Do you see that in politics?
Oh, yeah.
That's the world's way. Do you ever see where Jesus tried to ask questions and ensnare people and take them in their talk? He just let it happen, and they did it anyway. But he didn't have evil motives like men do.
And they sent him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth and cares for no one, for thou regardest not men's persons. Tell us, therefore, what think thou? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why make ye a trial of me, hypocrites? Show me the tribute money." And they brought him a shilling. And he said to them, "Whose is this image and inscription?" They say, "Caesar's." Then he saith to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things of Caesar, and to God the things of God." And when they heard it, they marveled and left him and went away.
So what's the first thing these religious folks did with these ministers, pastors, Bible teachers, radio preachers, TV preachers? What's the first thing? Let's put it in this context. They were talking about the religion of the day. And not just Christianity, but any religion. So somebody else new comes in, and it happens to be God. So what's the first thing they did in this context?
The leaders got their disciples and sicked them onto them, along with another whole group called the Herodians, sicked some people on them. And
what was the first tactic? Was it like schmoozing?
They are lying, meaning they are saying what they don't believe, but they are saying it is what they say. That is a lie.
It started with the schmooze.
It is.
They schmoozed them.
"We know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth and cares for no one, for you regard not men's persons. Tell us, therefore, what do you think about this? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not?" The government, there's the
they
Herodians.
They wanted to get him in trouble with the IRS.
Wanted to get him into trouble with
the IRS. We'll hire these 88,000 new IRS agents, and we're going to go after this guy. I'm sure we can find something on his tax report, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus, what did he do with taxes? He sent Peter out, remember, to the fish?
He says, Peter, go and get this because we need to pay our taxes.
Need to pay our taxes.
Go
we need
get
to pay tribute.
Enough for you and enough for me, and he got it from a fish.
Yeah. That's a real fish tale.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyway, and give tributes. And so that's...
And he says, "Show me the tribute money." And Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why make ye a trial of me, hypocrites? Show me the tribute money." And they brought him a shilling. And he says to them, "Who is this image and inscription?" They say, "Caesar's." Then he saith to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things of Caesar, and to God the things of God." And when they heard it, they marveled and left and went away.
They couldn't ensnare him.
They couldn't.
He called them two things: wicked
and hypocrites.
And they started with the schmooze because they're liars. They're not telling the truth. They didn't tell really what was on their hearts.
That was totally dishonest.
Totally. There's a difference between a sin that is premeditated.
This is premeditated.
Versus an accidental that comes from within.
Well, and it had a there's a reason they were doing it. They wanted to only hurt him. They didn't care what he was or what he said. They wanted to just trip him up and hurt him.
And they made trial.
They tried of God.
Huh. They'd already condemned him in their hearts. They've already had their minds made up. You ever had people ask you questions and they already have your minds made up, and they're kind of going yada, 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 but we want to trap this guy in his words. Sounds like lawyer on the stand, with the guy on the stand too. And some lawyers, Abraham Lincoln was an honest attorney, so they're not all that, but there are a lot that are that.
They're manipulated.
They're just in there for the money and to win. They're not trying to find the truth. They want to just find that piece of evidence that they could use that'll sway
to win
people's opinions, which are opinions which don't make them truth. And what we want to do is find the truth. We're to be lovers of truth. What'd you see in that, Brett?
It's interesting because we're talking like, what was the first thing that these guys did? Well, it says that the Pharisees and took counsel, right, on how they might ensnare him to talk. And so they were gathering together, and it's like a bunch of like-minded people.
And coming up with this scenario of what to ask him.
And it's not like a let's reason together through this. This was a, it was obvious what it was.
There was no give and take. They had a...
They were all in the same mind
goal.
On it.
Yeah, they have a goal.
Which was a wicked mind
and a
hypocritical mind.
Right.
Okay, great point.
It also appears this context is not sitting in the temple. This isn't happening in the temple. We got Herodians in there. We got all kinds of people. And this is... So some point in time, he's walked back out of the temple again.
We don't know that. That there's Herodians there. This definitely won't be in the holy place.
Right. So we don't know exactly.
It could
be
right at the gate, the outside gate of the. He could be just right there. He could be in the temple, and some of those people could be in and outside, and maybe they're hearing.
Okay, I see what you mean.
Yeah, I don't know that yet. What do you think?
No, I was just looking at a square, and you're going, well, it could be this. So that's just reasoning.
But it doesn't say he left the temple. So
not yet. Okay.
So they went and left away. What's the next context say? Maybe we can find out if
23 to 33.
If it becomes evident when he leaves the temple.
Yeah. On that day, the Sadducees came to him saying that there is no insurrection. And they questioned him saying, Teacher, Moses said, if one die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed to his brother. Now seven brethren were with us, and the first married and deceased, and having no seed left his wife to his brother, likewise the second also, and the third unto the seven. And after them all the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife shall be of the seven? For all had her. But Jesus answered and said to him, You err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as angels in heaven. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And the crowds heard and were astonished at his teaching.
Okay, let's keep reading. Read the next context to him. We'll keep.
So here we got the crowds jumped in here then.
Yeah, and the crowds jumped in. He still could be in the temple. You know how there's a fellowship where believers and unbelievers are there. You're not necessarily taking communion, but it's still a fellowship. You could be at the candelabra today, let's say that, and you're... I'd say they're maybe in the outer court where you have a different fellowship than when you're at Jesus' table. But let's keep reading because it doesn't get until Matthew 24 where it says he, and it never says he went back into the temple. We'll read all the way through it. And when we get to Matthew 24, verse 1, it says he left the temple. It looks like he is still in the temple, but being heard by
others,
by the disciples, by the priests were sure able to go there, but the Herodians, so people.
When they got a whole new group in here jumping on him now, Sadducees.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Well, the Sadducees, but they're all part of that religious.
It's just another.
Yeah, and who's inciting the problems? It's really the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians. The people got into this one too. It sounds kind of like
turning everybody against him.
Kind of sounds like Facebook, when people use religious, put religious materials on there, and then other people happen to get on there and add their opinions and so on.
Oh yeah.
But go ahead.
34 through 40. But the Pharisees, when they heard that they had silenced the Sadducees, gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, trying him, questioned, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second like it is this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hangs the whole law and the prophets. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus questioned them, saying, what think you of the Christ? Whose son is he? They say to him, David's. He says to them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand, till I make thine enemies underneath thy feet. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one could answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day question him any more. Then spake Jesus to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on the seat of Moses. All things therefore, whatever they tell you, do and keep, but do not after their works, for they say and do not. Yea, they bind heavy burdens and lay them on the shoulders of men, but themselves they will not remove them with their finger. But all their works they do to be seen by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the chief place at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the salutations in the markets, and to be called of men rabbi. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and all you are brethren. And call no one your father on the earth, for one is your father, the heavenly one. Neither be called masters, for one is your master, the Christ. But the greater among you shall be your minister. And whoever shall exalt himself shall be humbled, and whoever shall humble himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites.
Let's stop right there. That's okay. a whole other context. Okay. We just read, we're into 23. We read the 12 verses here. But then, now Jesus is really going to go after the religious folks. Let's see. Yes. Uh-oh. He's really going after the religious leaders now. These are seven woes. And I don't think we have enough time to do this on this tape. I'm just going to give a lead into what's going to what we're going to find on the next tape. But this word woe is pronounced oh. You know, if you come into upon a car wreck and you see people have been killed or maimed in a horrific car wreck, you go like, whoa, oh. This is that woe. It comes from your diaphragm. Oh, it just comes from your deep part of your life. And these are now, he's going right after in this from verses 13, and it's one context till verse 36, and these are seven woes to the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, for those that lead people astray or misrepresent him. And our time and this at this point has come to an end. We will see you again tomorrow. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.